This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, June 7th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again on this Monday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This is a big month for our faith. On Friday, we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, followed by the next day, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary on Saturday. Coming up in a few minutes, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will join us to talk about Sunday's gospel on the solemnity of Corpus Christi. We'll also talk a little bit about sports as a metaphor for life. And a little bit later in the show, Professor Harry Kramer will explain the difference between being a Sunday Catholic and an everyday Catholic. All this and much more as we also have a Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner a little bit later. On Morning Air, we always get off to a good start every day with a short prayer to give thanks to the good Lord for all the many blessings that He's given us. And we always pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Now, as you might remember from my early days with Morning Air, one thing that I'm passionate about is the Word of God. For us as Catholics, meditating on Scripture, I believe, is a must if we want to grow in our faith and know the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why every day, as you're going to be seeing, we feature a power scripture from the Playbook of Life, because the Word of God is powerful. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Peter 3:15. Our first Holy Father, our first Pope, said, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence." As Catholic Christians, we need to always be prepared to give a reasoned explanation for what we believe and why we believe it. There will no doubt be situations where someone asks you, why do you believe that Mary is the Mother of God, or that the Eucharist is more than just a mere symbol? We need to be ready. We have to be prepared to answer, but to do it with charity and clarity, with gentleness and respect from whoever may challenge us about our Catholic faith. Know your faith, know what Scripture, tradition, and the Catechism teaches, but always do it with respect. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, here on Morning Air, we're going to try to look at everything that's going on in the world in everyday life through a Catholic perspective. Everything, even the world of sports, even baseball. If you're a fan of the Chicago Cubs, who are red hot, but they kind of cooled off this past weekend, you know about the virtue of patience. As the late Hall of Fame Cubs broadcaster Jack Brickhouse once said, "Any team can have a bad century." And after 108 years of waiting, the Cubs finally won it all. So I'm no longer a suffering Cub fan after 2016. Now, what does baseball have to do with our Catholic faith? Give us a call if you want to be part of this conversation. If you love baseball or sports and see it as a school of virtue, as my hero John Paul II used to refer to it, call us 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to talk about some of the spiritual and life lessons of our national pastime with our Morning Air spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, who's also known as the baseball priest and the Secretariat for Christian Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Father Burke, it's such a joy to be with you on Morning Air to talk about my two loves, our Lord and baseball.
Good morning, John. Yeah, it's great to be with you too, and Those are my two passions as well, in that order, right? As you say, that if there's anything that we can do to help people have a deep personal relationship with our Lord, and I just use, you know, having played baseball, and God has used baseball in my life to bring me into the church and, you know, the priesthood, that I use baseball as an in, if you will, with other people to help them see, you know, the beauty of Jesus through baseball. Our mutual friend Mike Sweeney, you know, has the saying, let's share the greatest story ever told, Jesus Christ, through the greatest game ever played, baseball. Now, other people may debate whether baseball is the greatest sport, but, you know, it's the one that I grew up with playing.
I love it.
And love it, with Father. Passion.
I love it. In fact, I still have the T-shirt from my son Joseph when he was at Mike Sweeney's baseball camp. The jersey that has that saying on the back of the jersey. It's such a beautiful reminder about our faith and about how we can use sports as an instrument to share our faith.
Yeah, I had heard about Mike Sweeney's baseball camps several years ago, and I thought, that's a brilliant idea. So, you know, I got to know Mike through being chaplain for the Cubs. We have an annual retreat in California for the Catholic baseball players in Major League Baseball, as well as the chaplains. And I was asking him about these camps. And so I went out to Seattle where he was holding one, and I was just amazed at how, you know, he combined the two things. And, you know, there was a family that came from Taiwan for the Catholic baseball camp. They said, we can get a baseball camp anywhere, but we've never found anything like this where you can combine the faith with baseball. And he's had whole families convert to the Catholic faith as a result of these camps. So it was just a brilliant idea. So we brought the camps back to the Diocese of Joliet with Mike's blessing. And we took last year off because of COVID, but we're restarting again next month. So I try to do all I can to, you know, use that game to help people come into a relationship with the Lord.
We're joined by Father Burke Masters, our spiritual director in the Secretariat for Christian Formation, the director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet. Father, I had the opportunity to go to Mike Sweeney's camps several years when Joseph was younger, and probably the thing that impressed me the most, even more than all the baseball teaching and all the drills that they were doing, was the one station where the kids would go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the monstrance exposed in a little chapel that was set up for the camp, and these kids in their baseball uniforms on their knees praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Really kind of reminds us of what's really, really important, especially after yesterday's feast, the solemnity of the Corpus Christi.
Exactly. That was one of the things that, you know, talking to Mike, you know, in the morning of the camp, we have the kids, you know, warm up and then do drills. And we said, wouldn't it be great if one of the drills was adoration? And so they might go from running to bunting to fielding ground balls, and then the next station is 20 minutes of adoration. And, you know, it's so beautiful to see the kids, you know, really, as you say, drop to their knees. And a lot of times we hear the parents say, we just want our kids around the men that you have in this camp. And women now, too. We have some professional baseball or softball players who have joined us. And, you know, they said, as you said, baseball and softball is secondary to having good role models and seeing people that, wow, this person plays professional baseball and he loves Jesus. Maybe it's okay for me to do both. And it gives the kids permission to say, this is a real, you know, if they're young men, this is a manly thing to love the Lord and drop to your knees and go to adoration or pray the rosary, go to confession. These are things that are held as, you know, a high virtue. So it's a beautiful thing.
It's also a beautiful thing that those camps begin with Holy Mass. Beautiful masses there in the gymnasium with all the kids and all the parents. Can you talk about the Holy Eucharist, especially after we celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi yesterday? It was such an important part of your conversion to the Catholic faith. Can you talk about why it's important for us to not only receive the body and blood of Christ, but to fall in love with the Holy Eucharist?
Yeah, it is, as I was sharing yesterday, it's the reason, the Eucharist is the reason I became Catholic, why I became a priest, and why I remain a priest. So, you know, I went to a Catholic high school just to play baseball. My older brothers went to the public high schools. We weren't raised Catholic. And the public high schools were going to merge in Joliet, where I grew up. And so my parents decided, they said, Burke, you can go to one of the two Catholic high schools. And so I went to Providence Catholic. First time I was exposed to the Catholic Church, its teaching, you know, Mass. I knew I had to go to Mass and had to take the theology, but my intention was, you know, to further my baseball career because they had a great baseball program. And it was there that I was just struck by the teaching of the church, the beauty of the Mass. And my junior year, I went on a retreat. And during the retreat, there was a visiting priest that came in and he gathered us. It was a small room, so we were around the altar for communion. And I'd never been to communion before. I didn't know how to cross my arms, you know, and ask for a blessing. So as the priest came around the circle for communion, he stood before me and he said, the body of Christ. And I opened my mouth to say, I'm not Catholic, but no words came out. And in went the Eucharist. And so I wasn't even baptized. And all I can say is that moment that seems accidental was life-changing. And I knew, I had heard the teaching about the Eucharist, but I didn't believe it until that moment. And I thought, this is more than a piece of bread. This is, you know, my Lord. And I went home that night and told my parents, I said, I have to join the Catholic Church. Long story short, I become Catholic a year later. I was baptized, second communion, confirmation. And then about 9 years later, after my playing career was done, I was trying to work my way up to become, I wanted to become a major league general manager. My girlfriend at the time introduced me to Eucharistic Adoration, which I had never heard of before. And we went an hour a week to pray in silence before the Blessed Sacrament. And I went from being afraid of silence to craving the silence. And I started to, I didn't hear a voice in my ears, but in my heart, I kept hearing, Burke, I want you to be a priest. And I said, God, I don't want to be a priest. I want to marry my girlfriend and, you know, have a family. And again, long story short, I end up going to the seminary as a result of Eucharistic Adoration, and now I've been a priest for 19 years. And beautifully, my first Mass as a priest the day after my ordination was Corpus Christi. So the Eucharist has been just this constant force in my life, and I believe God called me from being a Protestant baseball player to be a Catholic priest to help Catholics realize the gift of the Eucharist. Like, do you know who you're receiving and how powerful this is? So we could talk all day on the Eucharist.
I love it, Father. I love the timing. How perfect that we're here. We are talking the day after the Feast of Corpus Christi, which was such an important part of your amazing story. We're visiting with Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest, Secretary of Christian Formation and Director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet. Father, something I've been wanting to ask you, do you have any advice for the challenges that so many parents, Catholic parents, might have who have kids that play travel baseball, and it's so hard to get the Mass on those weekends, especially when there could be as many as five or six games by the time you get to the championship game. And yet you still got to try to find a way.
Yes. Yeah, it's a different world today than when, you know, I grew up. We didn't have travel baseball, so we just played in local leagues. Now, we did travel for tournaments, and it would be all weekend. And not growing up in a Catholic family, and we really weren't church-going people. We, you know, it wasn't a part of our lives. But I admire families so much who make it a priority, and they'll even tell the coaches that, you know, we're gonna find time for Mass either Saturday evening or Sunday morning or Sunday evening. It is the priority, and if it means we have to miss a game, then we miss a game. I've had families do that, and sometimes their kids are, you know, they're embarrassed or they're crushed because what their parents are teaching them is that, you know, our faith is more important than baseball. And I can tell you, probably as a kid, I wouldn't have understood it. But as an adult now, I realize, you know, we've got to be able to teach our kids what is important. Similarly, some of my good friends, their son played high school football, and there was something going on Sunday, and they said, we're not going to participate because this is the day of the Lord, and we're going to go to Mass, and when we spend time as a family. And their son was not happy about it, but I think he learned this is a priority for Mom and Dad, and now he's a faithful young man himself, and not that he wasn't, but I think he learned how important it was for his family, and he's incorporated that priority in his own life. So Father, I would just encourage families to make that priority, even if it means a big sacrifice, that we can't put sports or anything over God.
You are so right, Father Burke. I can't begin to tell you how many times my now 13-year-old travel baseball son, Joseph Dominic, whom you've had the chance to meet at the Mike Sweeney baseball camps, how many times we've gone to Mass with him in his full baseball uniform in between games 1 and 2 on a Sunday or early in the morning on a Sunday. But I love it when he walks in his uniform because he always gets a blessing from the priest and usually means a few good at-bats in the following game after we go to Mass and make our Lord number one.
Yeah, it's, and you know, I love to see that too. It means, you know, that yeah, they've got other things going on, but they're making this a priority. I would never tell somebody that's inappropriate dress because, you know, they're making the attempt. They're making the that priority in their lives. They're putting it into practice. So, and I shared last night we had a big crowd here at Mass for our school families. And, you know, there were a lot of young kids. There was a lot of movement and some crying. And, you know, I told the parents, I said, I love to hear the sound of children. Please don't ever feel like you're not welcome if your child is crying. Or I said, this kind of noise means the church is alive and the future is bright. So in my opinion, you know, if getting there is most important, even if you have to come in your baseball uniform.
Absolutely. Our Lord said, let the little children come to me. We're talking to Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest and Secretary for Christian Formation, Director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet. Father, you know, athletes are told you are what you eat. You have to eat well. You have to have a good training table. Well, for us as spiritual athletes for Christ, we need food for the soul. Can you talk about how the Holy Eucharist is the food for the soul, the food of champions?
Yes, you know, there is a saying, you know, you are what you become what you eat. And I remember when I was, I think I was 26 years old, so I went to seminary when I was 30. I went on a Crucio weekend, and I was just, my heart was really moved and had really fallen in love with the Lord in a new way. And I decided after that weekend I was going to go to Mass daily. And I remember, you know, I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and by Friday, this woman pulled me aside and she said, Burke, be careful. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, that's how my son got started. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, he's a priest today. What she was pointing out is if you go to Mass on a daily basis and, you know, hear the Word of God proclaimed and explained in a homily and then receive communion, you start to become, you know, more like the one that you're consuming. And sure enough, it wasn't probably a year later that's when I started to sense this call to the priesthood. And I've been to Mass probably every day since then for the last 28 years. And I tell people, I said, if you start to go to daily Mass, buckle your seatbelt, because it's the ride of your life. You start to, crave that intimacy with the Lord. And one of the things that I've studied, some of the theology of the body, and if you go to Rome or other places, even here in Chicago, there's some churches that have what they call a baldacchino over the altar. It's the four pillars and like a canopy over the altar. And what that symbolizes is the marriage bed. And, in theology of the body from, I think you said your favorite, my favorite saint, St. John Paul II, he said it's here at Mass where God wants to become one with you in the Holy Eucharist. And it's just so beautiful. Whenever I try to never take for granted the gift of receiving the Eucharist on a daily basis as a priest, and trying to become more and more like the one that I'm uniting with, and God coming into my body. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit in me through my baptism, but that intimacy on a daily basis of the Eucharist will transform your life.
Father Burke, I got to commend you. Your streak of 28 years, way better than Lou Gehrig or Cal Ripken Jr. of going to Mass every single day. That's a long streak, Father.
Yeah, and it's something that it doesn't. One of the things I don't like is the language of a holy day of obligation, or a Sunday obligation. I understand why the Church says it, because it's trying to instill the importance of this. I look at it as, holy day of opportunity, or this is my Sunday of every day is an opportunity to receive the Lord. And I think we need to do more and more teaching on the Eucharist, because if people understood what was happening at Mass and who they're receiving, gosh, the church would be full every day. People would be hanging from the rafters to get there, because that's God. I remember one of my good friends, Father Dennis. He was celebrating a school Mass one day, and he said, if I had Mass at 6:30 a.m. every day, and I was giving away $100 every day to, if you came to Mass, how many of you would come? And of course, all their hands went up. They were, excited about getting $100 a day. And he said, how about for 50? And they all had their hands up. Then he went down to $10, $1. And the hands started going down, like, I'm not going to get up that early for a dollar. And then he went down to like 5 cents, and, there might have been one kid's hand was still up. And then he said, do you realize you just put a price tag on Jesus? And there was stunned silence in the church. Like, he said, at Mass every day you can receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it's way more than $100. It's priceless, this gift of union with God. And I've used that myself sometimes. It really makes people think, wow, this isn't. And I think it's so important, because, one of the latest studies says that 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence in the Eucharist. And, I would encourage people to Google Eucharistic miracles that have happened in history and continue to happen around the world. And I think it's our Lord saying, this is me. I told you that I'd be with you until the end of the age through my Holy Spirit, and also through the Eucharist. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So Google Eucharistic miracles and start reading about how the Lord is trying to reveal himself, I think, in the Eucharist.
Well, Father, I so much appreciate you taking the time to be with us here this morning. Sports is a school of virtue, as Pope John Paul II has said. There's so much we can learn. We haven't even begun to talk about this topic. But thank you again, Father, for being with us.
It's my pleasure, John. I look forward to being with you here on these Mondays.
Thank you. Father Burke Masters, a priest of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and the director of the Office of Formation for the Diocese, and also known as the baseball priest. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Professor Harry Kramer to discuss why you can't keep your Catholicism on the shelf and take it out only on Sundays, and We'll hear from Professor Kramer after we hear today's gospel reading from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this Monday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
33 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Monday, June 7th. I'm John Morales. Along with Glenn Leverance, thanks so much for joining us. It's a joy to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll have another Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, as I've said many, many times over the years, especially on our Relevant Radio pledge drives four times a year, our Catholic faith is not a spectator sport. You got to come down from the stands and get into the game. But how often do we as Catholics treat our faith as mere spectators sitting up in the stands or sitting in the back of Mass on Sundays, and then we put our faith on the shelf until the following week? If you've been a Sunday-only Catholic and now you're a practicing everyday Catholic, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now joining us to talk about turning yourself from a Sunday Catholic into an everyday, all-day Catholic is Morning Air regular contributor Harry Kramer. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern's University Kellogg School of Management and an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the United States. Good morning, Harry. Great to be with you for the first time here on Morning Air. Thanks for joining us from Napa, California, a little bit early out there on the West Coast.
Great to be with you, John. Great to be with you.
Let's talk about defining the terms, first of all, when we talk about Sunday Catholic. What exactly is a Sunday Catholic?
Well, you know, John, I always say very few answers, many opinions. I always think about it as a person, and maybe be a very good person, who basically follows the rules. You know, they were taught when they were young that, hey, you know, you go to Mass on Sunday, and, you know, during Lent, you don't eat meat on Friday, and you know what your Ten Commandments are, and, you know, you just follow the rules, and that's what you do, and as long as I follow the rules, you know, I'm not somebody that really reads the Gospel or the New Testament, but, you know, I follow the rules and I do what I'm told, and I think of that as pretty much somebody who's a Sunday Catholic. They're not bad people, but they just follow what they think they're supposed to do.
But the reality is that our Catholic faith is much more than just a bunch of rules. It goes a lot more than that. Why do you suppose that there's so many Catholics that fall into that category of just following the rules, doing what they're told, those Sunday Catholics?
You know, it's interesting, John. I think it happened to a lot of people that when they were young, they just sort of went through the motions. You know, they were told, hey, it would be really good to read the Gospel. It would be really good to read the Word of God and the New Testament and so on, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And yeah, you know, I'm going to get to that some point. I'll definitely take a look at that. But they just never take the time to do it. They never take the time to do it. And, you know, they kind of rely on, I guess, if I'm going to Mass and I hear the homily and the, you know, the priest is reading the Gospels, so, you know, I think I'm probably taken care of. And by the way, maybe I've been kind of told that I'm supposed to separate my faith anyway because, you know, I'm not supposed to bother somebody, so they may believe in something different. So I'll kind of do my work and I'll kind of separate my life into what I do every day and then what I'll try to do on Sunday. And I'll just kind of keep things very separated because that sort of felt good and I don't want to insult or worry anybody.
Harry, and we're speaking with Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Northwestern's University Kellogg School of Management. Harry, do you think there's a connection between Sunday-only Catholics and what is also known as cafeteria Catholics that pick and choose, kind of like going through the cafeteria line?
I think there's some of that for sure. How do I make it easy? How do I not let this actually be a major part of my life, but it's just one of the things that I try to do? I'm a cafeteria Catholic, and I'm kind of like checking a box so I can say I did a little bit of this, I did a little bit of that, and I also sort of fulfilled some kind of religious obligation. That's a good way to think about it, John, for sure.
Well, early on at the beginning of Relevant Radio, the slogan was bridging the gap between faith and everyday life. In fact, it's still relevant even today here, 18 years later from when we first started. How do we bridge that gap between our faith and everyday life?
The first thing I think that becomes important, John, is to literally read the Gospels. Really listen to what Jesus has taught us. And then you start to realize, wait a minute, if I'm really following Jesus' word, this isn't something that, to your point, could be a cafeteria. This isn't something I do part-time. It's part of who I am. And even when students will say to me, well, no, it's kind of important to me, but I'll focus on that part of my life. Well, if you really are truly Catholic, if you really are a son or daughter of Christ, It's who you are. So I don't think you can separate it at all. You can be respectful of other people, but I don't think it's something you turn on and turn off. It's who you are 24 hours a day.
And that's a great first step to go from being a Sunday-only Catholic to an everyday, all-day Catholic. Talk to us what you feel that means, to be an everyday, all-day Catholic.
Well, I'll give it to you in a couple ways, John. It's almost like I realize I'm here for a blink of an eye. I'm focused on preparing myself for eternity with Christ. And in that journey, every day, every breath, everything I can do, hopefully is consistent with what he's asked me to do. And it's pretty clear what he's asked me to do. I mean, if you read all of the New Testament and you read what his teachings are, it's pretty straightforward. You know, you love God above all. You love your neighbor as yourself. You follow his word. And it's something you do just like breathing. And, you know, it was interesting. Somebody mentioned to me one time, and I can't remember, John, even where I was, but somebody was actually trying to test themselves as to whether they really, truly were an everyday, you know, a Catholic. And the person said, hey, if in some strange little story, if you were accused of being Catholic and brought before a jury, all right, and they're looking at your life, could you even be convicted? Okay, of really being a Catholic. Could you really be convicted? Or, well, no, it's something he does once in a while, and he kind of goes to church on Sunday, but that's a heck of a lot different than following Christ.
Harry, do you think this phenomenon of being a Sunday-only Catholic is not only for Catholics, but our Protestant brothers and sisters, evangelicals, you think that some of them are also Sunday-only Christians?
Well, John, that's a great point. I would say opinions, no answers. I think many of my friends that are very good people, whether they happen to be Jewish or Muslim or Hindu, whatever, I think in society, almost globally today, there's this view of, well, you know, it's just one of the many things I'm focused on, and, you know, I kind of just compartmentalize it. As opposed to it being, you know, kind of the reason for my existence and what I'm preparing for eternity. I think this happens across most folks, not most, many folks I know in many religions.
I want to open up the phone lines for our callers, our listeners, if you want to be part of this conversation about Sunday-only versus everyday Catholics. If you've been a former Sunday-only Catholic and now you're a practicing everyday Catholic, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Harry, what about your own experience? Were you ever what you now would consider a Sunday-only Catholic?
You know, John, if I'm honest with myself and thinking about the question, I think when I was younger, I definitely was. And my family were very, very focused on, hey, you know, you go to church on Sunday, and if you don't go to Mass, you know, that's going to be a sin. And so rather than thinking, wow, what an unbelievable opportunity to share Christ's life and his word and the body and blood of Christ and just the whole experience, it was more of an obligation. And it was something I did, and boy, I'm certainly not going to miss Mass. I'm going to definitely do that. And, you know, I'm not going to eat meat on Friday when I was growing up, and you weren't supposed to eat meat on Friday. So I was very good at the rules, but I don't think I really understood what the real meaning was of what Christ asked us to do.
And unfortunately, there's even some confusion about even the rules in this day and age. I know my wife used to be a director of religious education, and she would get into these heartfelt discussions with some of the parents who just didn't understand how can it be obligatory to go to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, again, John, I am a very, very big believer, and I spend a lot of time in class talking about what I refer to when I'm at Northwestern. I call it self-reflection. I think what you and I would do is call it prayer. I mean, if you're not taking the time, we're all busy. We're all very, very busy. There's a million things to do. And I would say, if you keep running around like crazy, you can confuse activity and productivity. And if you don't take the time to stop, literally stop, turn off the noise, get off by yourself, find someplace quiet, and start to ask questions, John. You know, what is my purpose? What matters in my life? What are my values? You know, what is God asking me to do the blink of an eye I'm on this earth? If you don't take the time to think about that, you're just in a blizzard. You're just going a million miles an hour and not even really wondering, why am I doing what I'm doing? And you end up simplifying things, and you say, to your point, well, you know, it's a sin if you don't go to Mass on Sunday. Wait a minute, what was the Catholic Church, I think, set up trying to tell us? I think it was, hey, you know, if we're going to really share the body and blood of Jesus, you got to be involved. You got to be there. You got to be involved, right? As a kid, rather than, oh well, you know, I don't meet on Friday. It's like, wait a minute, you know, Jesus died on a cross for us. Wouldn't it be great on a Friday, just in a small way, just to remember, to take a moment to remember what he did for us and for our salvation? But if you don't take the time to think about that, it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not a really big deal. I mean, fish is good for me anyway, so I might as well eat fish. I mean, it's like not understanding, John. It's like going through the motions and not even understanding what you're doing or why you're doing it.
Absolutely. Going through the motions. I think some of us, all of us, have experienced it to one extent or the other. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of this conversation, if you've ever been a Sunday-only Catholic, maybe now you consider yourself a former Sunday-only Catholic as you're practicing your Catholic faith, give us a call. We're going to take a short time out. We're talking with Harry Kramer, our Morning Air regular contributor, a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. There's much more to come here on this Monday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
48 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Monday, June 7th. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. We'll have another Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner coming up in a few minutes. But we're talking about being a Sunday Catholic versus an everyday, all-day Catholic with our regular contributor here on Morning Air, Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University Kellogg School of Management. Again, if you are a practicing Catholic today, but you were a Sunday-only Catholic, if you want to be a part of this conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Harry, you started to give us a few practical pieces of advice, beginning with the importance of prayer if we really want to take it to the next level and be practicing Catholics.
I think it really starts with that. And I think that begins the process. I think finding people that really are strong Catholics and talking with them, learning from them, getting involved in a Bible study. I know in my own case, and I mentioned this on prior discussions on Morning Air, I had the opportunity when I was dating a young girl, when I was just finishing college, that her father said, "Hey, I know this is getting serious. You need to spend some time with me and come up to Minnesota." And I thought we were going to go to a football game. And basically, he had signed me up to go on a three-day silent Jesuit retreat. And I thought, well, what's that all about? And he said, well, you can't be quiet for 3 minutes. You're not going to be talking for 3 days. And going on that three-day silent retreat where there was no talking other than the Jesuit every 3 hours giving you 10 or 15 minutes something to think about, and it was up at De Montreville, the Jesuit retreat house in St. Paul, Minnesota, it had such an enormous impact, John, that at the end of the 3 days, they said, this shouldn't be a one-time exercise. You should spend 15 minutes at the end of every day doing a self-examination based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And I thought, okay, I'll do that for a week or two. So, John, I've done it every night for almost the last 40 years. I married his daughter, and for the last now almost 40 years, no matter where I am in the world, the first weekend in December, for the last now 38, 39 years, I spend 3 days at that silent retreat where, you know, I really take the time to think through what can I do to be a better Catholic, a better father, a better spouse, a better leader, a better teacher, in the short time I have on this earth. It literally takes a lot of the complexity of life, John, and you don't even think about it as being every day. It's an all-encompassing. It's the way you live your life. It's the example you try to set for other people.
Outstanding. It's all about having a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know him personally. It's not just about the rules. We have time for a couple of callers. Richard is joining us from Texas. Richard, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Hey, thanks for having my call. This radio station is just new here to where I'm at down here in South Texas, but I have a couple comments, and please don't take these comments wrong, because I'm kind of asking myself, you know, the same question. But, you know, I'm your typical Catholic. I grew up a Catholic. I probably have not even missed a single Sunday my whole life, on the assumption that ultimately I'm going to get to heaven because of that. But my problem is, and I'm constantly bombarded by a lot of evangelical Baptists, for example, who are my friends, that condemn me because I'm Catholic for a lot of stupid reasons, like, for example, because the statue of Mary, and we worship false gods and stuff like that. But my problem is as I try to delve into reading the Bible, you know, and perhaps I think, obviously, some people try to take it more literal, I've deviate farther from the Catholic Church, and probably, unfortunately, I deviate farther from God, because I always ask this simple question, is why could God, through whoever, the prophets, whoever wrote the Bible, why could he not have communicated more effectively? Because when you have a document that's interpreted by 40 different religions, well, let's just say 10, you know, the Baptists, the Mormons, etc., in 10 different ways, you know, you start asking yourself, why could he have not communicated effectively? And that's the one thing I have a problem with, and I'll hang up.
I can appreciate that.
And I'll let you maybe answer that question.
Richard, I appreciate that you're not the only one who has questions from our separated brothers and sisters. Harry, your thoughts?
Yeah, so first of all, great question. The way I think about it, and I try to keep things very, very simple, and like our caller from Texas, I try to keep it very, very simple and not make it complicated. And I think in his words, I think in the New Testament, he makes it fairly, fairly simple of, you know, love God above all, love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, I'm starting this church, and St. Peter is the rock. And I keep it very, very simple. You know, human beings, almost by definition, are always going to think about ways to interpret things very differently. And so, you know, when you say 40, actually, I think not only you're right, I think when you look at all the denominations of all the denominations, there's hundreds, because everybody chooses to interpret things different ways. And I just keep it very, very simple of what he originally said, and the fact that some people take things out of context or want to look at things a different way, that's human nature. That's what people are going to do. And I think the closer you are to God, the closer you look at what's written and take it to terms. I wouldn't let other people who have different views impact the way I'm going to look at things and my beliefs. And the fact, it's like a little bit like John said before, you know, it's very, very easy to take things out of context. So the fact that we see people that have been phenomenal Christians, Catholics, and they're a saint, and we say, okay, well, we want to think about them. Well, that's a lot different than we're worshiping a statue. I think we're saying, hey, that person really followed Christ. What a great example. I'm going to think about that person as a great example for myself, as opposed to, well, I'm worshiping a statue or something. So, you know, everybody's going to look at things differently. And I think God laid it out in a straightforward way. But, you know, people are people. No wonder everybody's going to look at it differently. But it wouldn't in any way should impact the strong faith that you have as a Catholic.
Bottom line, we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, to be able to give reasonable explanations and do it with charity. There's a lot of tools out there on the internet, and there's a lot of Catholic books that explain what the Church actually teaches, not what some people think that it teaches.
Exactly, Professor? Exactly, John.
We are running up against the clock. I so much appreciate you being with us. Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Thanks so much for being with us here on a Monday morning.
Great to be with you, John. Take good care. God bless. We'll talk to you again.
God bless you, too. Now it's time for a Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Boy's Best Friend. Bryson Kleiman is a diehard Pokemon fanatic, and when his siblings won't play with him, his dog, Bruce, is always up for a game. Usually my brother and sister play together, but I don't have anybody to play with, so I usually play with him, referring to Bruce, said Bryson as he talked to WCYB-TV. But when he learned his puppy had fallen ill and needed treatment that his family couldn't afford, Bryson took matters into his own hands. When I'm at school, I get a text message with a picture of him and a sign on the side of the road selling Pokemon cards, said his mother, Kimberly Woodruff. Kimberly posted the picture online to help get the word out. She later made a GoFundMe page with a goal of $800, but donations exceeded $5,000. After a week of treatment for canine parvovirus, Bryson was reunited with Bruce. Now, he has more vaccine appointments, but he's doing great, like amazing, Kimberly said. But Bryson's kind act didn't just get the attention of people around the world, it also got the attention of Pokemon employees based in Bellevue, Washington. They sent the diehard Pokemon fanatic a package of rare Pokemon cards that are hard to find in stores. They even sent a letter of appreciation that read, "Hey Bryson, we were so inspired by your story about selling your cards for your dog's recovery. Here are some cards to help you replace the ones you had to sell." The additional money that was raised in the fundraiser will go toward medical expenses for other sick animals in Southwest Virginia. From John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Thanks so much, Glenn, for another outstanding edition of your Story Corner. Just a quick response to our previous caller who isn't sure how to answer some of the questions that he was been getting from our separated brothers and sisters. Just remember, it's really great to be a Catholic. We have the fullness of the Christian faith. We have seven sacraments. We have 2,000 years of apostolic tradition, the successor of Peter, a Blessed Mother, and the Hall of Fame of our saints. We have the plenitude of the Christian faith, the fullness of Christianity. So learn your faith, study your faith, be always prepared. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverance and the entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Patrick is ready to answer all your questions about our Catholic faith. And as St. John Paul II said it so many times, do not be afraid, open the doors to Christ.